Well, hey, everybody, welcome back to the Marriage Podcast. We are so glad you're here with us today.
Yes, we are. And today we're talking about something that hits most marriages at some point. And it's that quiet question that kind of sits in the back of your mind. Is the spark gone in our marriage?
Yeah. And if you've ever felt that, even just a little, I'm telling you, man, you're not alone. I think everybody has. We've talked to so many couples who feel this way. And honestly, it's something that we were talking earlier about, and we kind of hit that little skid and we'll be married 30 years in June.
Yeah.
And so you look up one day and you think, I mean, we still love each other. That's not in question, but sometimes it just kind of feels different.
You know? Yeah, and that connection isn't quite the same. The laughter isn't quite as easy. And sometimes you start to wonder, is this just what marriage turns into?
And doesn't have to. So today, we want to walk through that together. So we're going to answer three big questions today. First, is it normal for that spark to fade? And then second, can romance come back? And then third, what do you do when one wants more connection and the other really doesn't seem to feel it?
Our hope for you today is by the end of this episode that you're going to walk away with real hope, because the spark in your marriage may not really be gone. It might just need to be rekindled.
That's right. So we've had a busy couple weeks here, and we've got a couple busy couple weeks.
It's April and May.
That's right.
March, April, May.
And it's so pretty here at the farm. And I mean, this is like
perfect
prime time. This and October, I think, are my favorite times. And but it's so pretty here, and I think the pollen is starting to fade.
It's still there, but starting to fade.
So we had so we do intensives throughout the month, and then this past weekend we had a marriage adventure workshop, and we had about 17 couples here this weekend, and those are always tremendous, but they're incredibly tiring. But so usually what we'll do is Friday night workshop is we'll cater in dinner. We'll have a teaching session Friday night. And then Bonnie makes these incredible pies and with cake. And we just do kind of dessert and hang out by the campfire. And not everybody that comes to a workshop knows each other. So not all the time. And so it's just a great time for people to hang out and get to know each other and all that. And so so what I'll do is I'll get the campfire ready before the session, before everybody gets here, and then I just kind of light it when they get here. But usually it's like I run over and light it, and then I have to go back and either teach or help with something, dessert
or
something.
Can't really sit and tend it.
No, I can't tend it, and fires need tending. And so used to what would happen was I would light it, and then 15 minutes later, it's out. Because I didn't have, and I was like, dang, now I got to go back and I got to,
do the whole thing.
Start over, and it's a pain. And so what I started doing is I noticed that we do couple talk back. So couples kind of spread out and talk through some questions. And right when I light it, there's always one couple sitting around that little area because there's Adirondacks. Yeah. And so I've started looking at the guy after I light it and say, okay, you're in charge. And it is so funny because, like, every time every guy kind of bows up and he almost kind of tells me his resume, like, for campfires.
like I got,
man,
this.
I've been doing fires my whole life. I got this. And so, so they take pride in it. And so I'll tell them, you're in charge of the fire. And
that's why the last couple have been so good.
I'm kind of, I'm kind of kidding, but I'm not. I'm really serious. And they take it serious. And so the rest of the night, they don't move out of those Adirondacks. And that guy tends that fire and adds some logs to it. And it keeps going all night.
That makes sense.
And so that's my strategy. But I tell you that story because, man, it has a lot to do with this. It's the same way with the spark or romance in our marriage. It starts out really strong, but it's not going to stay strong. And you got to keep it lit. You got to keep tending to it, right? And you got to keep, adding logs to it, stirring it up, stoking it up, kind of that kind of thing. Most couples, when they get to that point, you think something's wrong, but often it's nothing's wrong. You're just not tending it. You're tending to everything else, right?
So I guess that poses the question then, is it normal for the spark to fade? Because, you know, early in marriage, you've got that natural connection and fun and chemistry. And you told this story the other day, and I was reminded of how when we were first dating and we went on that out for Valentine's Day that first year, and
yeah.
we're looking around and we're seeing all these people just sitting there, like, not talking. This was even before cell phones, and they're okay. not even scrolling. They're just like looking around the restaurant or looking down at nothing.
And we were probably the youngest yes. by 10 or 15 years,
yeah.
20 years.
And we're thinking, wow, what is wrong with all these people? We're in love. Everything's great. What? I hope that's not going to turn into us.
We have the key to
yes,
love.
Right? That's right. And it was natural, but
I found out why they weren't talking. Mm. They're tired.
Yes.
Man, they got kids
yep.
and they got responsibilities.
That's right.
We didn't have any of that.
No. And I think people start looking around. Well, that's another thing. People start looking around and seeing other people. Oh, they're good. They're great. Why are we not like in that in love thing anymore? Are we, what's wrong with us? And I think it's a normal part of the ebb and flow in relationships, but I think a lot of times life just happens.
It does. And then we talk about this all the time. A word we use a lot around here is drift.
Mm-hmm.
We drift towards what's easy.
Yeah.
And we're tending to everything else, every other fire mm-hmm. except this one.
Well, and I don't even know so much that we tend to drift towards what is easy, but I think a lot of times we drift towards what is urgent.
Ah, that's true.
And all these other things present themselves as urgent, and we just start tending them because mm-hmm. we feel the need to do that. And
is there a difference between urgent and important all the time?
There is a difference between urgent.
Sometimes things are urgent and important,
mm-hmm.
right? Like if the smoke alarm's going off.
Yes, that's
and
urgent.
There's actually
and
a fire.
Yep.
That's urgent and important. If the smoke alarm's going off and there's no fire, it's just going off because the battery. That's urgent because it's
yeah,
it's annoying,
it's
but it's not
crazy.
Important.
Yeah, that's a
so
good point.
So in our life, the things we tend to that take our attention away from our marriage can sometimes be urgent and important.
Mm-hmm.
But with those, you can get back to tending to your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But when we just tend to the urgent, there's always going to be urgent things.
Yes.
There's always a notification on your phone. There's mm-hmm. always a something. Your kids all that mm-hmm. time have urgent things, but they're not always important things.
That's true. It's a good point. It's a good thing to differentiate between. So anyway, the question we're going to be talking about is, did the spark fade? And, you know, did we, or was it just that we stopped feeding the fire?
Are you looking for a transformational investment in your marriage relationship? Well, whether you're simply looking to press the reset button, or you're heading into a new season of marriage, or maybe you need to process and debrief a particularly tough season, well, a marriage intensive could be the answer. These are private, three-day, all-inclusive intensives here at our farm retreat in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. They include lodging, all meals, and 21 hours of coaching to help you and your spouse reconnect and strengthen your relationship. Well, if you're interested and you'd like more information, visit themarriageadventure.com/intensives. All right, so the question we're asking is, did the spark fade, or did we stop feeding the fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
And can that spark come back?
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you look at, all right, let's go with our campfire analogy. I think if you look at a campfire, there's probably 3 to 4 different stages of a campfire, right?
Okay.
I mean, you've got...
If you say so.
I'm breaking this down. I'm an Eagle Scout. Right?
All
we
right.
studied... This is official. We studied about this.
Let's hear
so,
it.
So, you've got your raging fire,
okay.
which is huge and raging and mm-hmm. awesome. Throwing off a lot of heat. But you're not making s'mores in that fire. That's just going to that's gonna burn your mallow. Or... And then next, you've got your normal... You're finding this funny. Like, you think this is adorable. No, you think this is... I'm serious.
Interesting.
This is
okay.
a thing.
Okay. I'm just listening.
This is real. It's scientific.
Okay.
And then you've got your next stage of fire where it's just a good campfire.
Mm-hmm.
It's not raging. It's not out. It's kind of burning. Kind of burning the wood, right?
Yep.
And then you've got your... and then you've got your kind of... It's not really... There's not a lot of flames.
Just embers.
Just kind of the logs are on fire. Little bitty baby flames, embers, got all that, right? So you can tell. That's still good. Mm-hmm. You might move your logs around a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you've got your just smoldering embers. Like, can I get that back going?
Okay. Yeah, that's good. I see you.
Solid, right?
That's solid.
That'll
teach. I'm with you.
That'll
yes,
teach.
It will.
It's Boy Scout Handbook, page 65. So, chapter 3. So, in marriage, it's kind of it's the same way, right? I do think that there's seasons of marriage that it's not just in the beginning. I think there's seasons of marriage where you can have a raging fire.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's seasonal. It's not going to stay. It's not designed to stay. And then I think that there's seasons where you're just going to have a good campfire and all. But when you really want to get concerned, is you want to keep that thing. You want to keep it going, right?
Yes.
You don't want to get to the point to where you're like, okay, can this be salvaged?
Right.
Or am I going to have to relight this thing?
Well, it's kind of going, I mean, I think you can take that whole urgent, important thing back to that, you know, you're keeping your marriage, that flame going is kind of, it's important, but it's not always urgent because it's not like you can leave it for a second and it's still burning. But what the problem is if you don't ever tend it, then it all of a sudden becomes urgent and important to focus on it because you haven't been. And that's where a lot of times we encounter couples is all of a sudden it has not been on the radar. And so now it's urgent and important to fix this thing or it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like this. I mean, I just got off the phone with a couple of 30 minutes ago. And they were calling asking about our intensives. And they're interested in a reset intensive. And so typically I'll ask, you know, what's gotten you to this point? What made you reach out? And they said, well, we've just kind of drifted a little bit. They have a little boy, you know, 2 years old. And they said, we just want to make an investment in our marriage. I was like, wow,
that's
good for you guys. Very rarely does that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Most people wait until they need a rescue or something like that to reach out. Mm-hmm. But they're like, you know, no, we don't want to get farther apart. We want to make sure that the campfire is
that's in great.
Stage number 2 or 3.
Well, and I think for a lot of couples...
They didn't use the campfire analogy.
You did, yeah.
But I did.
Okay. Did you use it with them on the phone?
No, but I should have.
Okay, you should have. It's great. You're right. Well, and I think that it's an important conversation because I think a lot of couples get to a stage where they just think, this is what marriage turns into, and there's not really hope for... Mm-hmm. It's like, okay... Because you watch new dating couples or newlyweds come in.
I thought you just said nude dating couples.
Couples who are brand newly dating. Yes. And there's that whole discovering, you know, personalities and they're having fun and all the adventure and all the fun of the falling for each other stage that all of us go through. And are you newlywed couple and they're just like, okay, you're like, all right, y'all need to just... Y'all need to go get a room because you're all over each other and you're like, this is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And you look at that and you're kind of like, okay, that was us, but is this what it becomes?
Yeah. Well, and some people, this is all they become that. And then, but that's all they saw in their parents.
Yeah.
Or that's all that, you know, so they've never seen couples that really, you know, that's been married for any amount of time that really keep a vibrant, passionate marriage. And it, you know,
and that's sad because it is more the norm for it to, you know, look that way because life is busy,
especially in our society.
Yes.
I mean, listen, society's always been busy, but now it's so full of distraction, even when you're not just busy, right? It's one thing to be busy and then come home, and be able to relax. But even now,
for everybody that's afraid of that, is there an answer to that? Is it just what marriage turns into?
Well, romance, it's not a feeling problem. It's a habit problem. Mm. And we get to choose what we invest in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so so whether we choose to invest in friendship or emotional safety or shared experiences, playfulness, different things like that, and you can't invest in everything. Mm. And so we have to make choices of what we're going to make our investments in, what we're going to turn our attention to. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, because what you turn your attention to what you feed is what grows.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you feed that fire and you keep throwing logs on it, guess what? It's going to grow.
Yeah.
But in the same way, if you don't and you just ignore it, then, you know.
Well, I think another problem that kind of has to be tackled is what happens if one spouse wants to feel that again and feel the rekindling. And gosh, there are all these, you know, romance shows on TV, all these, you know, Love Island, all these crazy, mm-hmm. whatever, the, you know, Bachelor stuff. I mean, entire industry built around, and all the, I mean, Hallmark, a whole channel built around getting that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody kind of thinks that, but, you know, not everybody. I mean, what if only one of you is interested in that? Because
so,
we're good.
So
we're
what
good.
If you've got a couple and one person is starving for it, but the other person thinks
we're good.
You're good?
We're good. We're fine.
Do you think that's going to lean more towards the female longing for it? Or
I would say that's probably a trend.
Mm-hmm.
That's not always the case. You can't, like, say across the board.
Blanket statement.
But, I mean, you've got some romantic guys out there. But I do think that I think guys are wired to conquer. They kind of got a wiring to pursue and conquer, and whether it's in the job, sometimes there's always a new challenge, and so they get focused on that challenge, and they've already conquered getting married, and they've conquered, okay, I got a relationship. Oh, we got kids now. We conquered that one.
On to the next.
I mean, that may not be a fair thing to say, but I do think that a lot of men are wired more towards challenge, and so the pursuit is – you know, in the early phases, there's that pursuit that drives them towards the romance and the, you know, those things earlier on. But
pursuit, so, that's a good word.
So maybe it is more of the female longs to get that back.
Well, and I said this the other day in our workshop, is any of the affairs that I've had here with a rescue intensive, couples come in for a rescue intensive because they've endured an affair or an affair have just been disclosed. Any of the ones that it was I've had equally as many on the female, the wife have the affair as the husband. And so anytime it's been the wife that's had the affair, it's always been because for years and years, she was begging for attention, begging for affection, begging for more connection, and the husband was killing it at work, growing his company, and rightfully so, she enjoyed the benefits of that, the money
sure.
coming in. But the whole time she's waving her hands, I want to connect, I want to connect, and he either never validated it and thought, oh, there's really an issue there, there's no issue there, we're fine, or he just felt the stress of I'm busy over here and I can't.
Yeah.
And she ended up connecting with someone else, right? Mm-hmm. And it was never her intention.
No.
But yeah. So in a lot of those cases it was the wife wanting more connection. Not to say that it can't happen the other way. So what do you do? Right. So what do you do when one of you, and maybe you're listening today and you're like, that's me. I want more connection, but my husband or my wife, whichever it may be, isn't reciprocating or doesn't think so, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chances are that it may be that they're putting all their attention and affection at work, not affection, but attention at work, mm-hmm. and they're stressed. So the last thing you want to do is be another loud, chirpy voice that's bringing more stress.
That's a good word.
Right. So you wanted, not that you don't need to, bring
not
that
the
message
squeaky
to
them. Wheel gets the grease, not that, no.
Right. Okay. Well, you just want to do it in a way that can catch them at a good time, and say it in a way that they don't hear,
you're failing.
I'm failing, but they hear, I love you and I want more of you.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it has to be done in that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the whole idea here is that we're trying to cultivate connection.
Yep.
And it's not just about trying to avoid conflict, but it is about cultivating connection. And, so that's a goal. I mean, you want to be connected and not just, you can push away by saying, I want more. You can smother somebody or keep continue to, I don't know. Like you said, you don't want to make them feel defeated.
Mm-hmm. So you've got to find a way to have that conversation with your spouse, and do it in a way that's going to be heard, that's going to be sensitive, that's going to voice your love, your feelings, your needs, mm-hmm. and all that. And not make them feel like, well, I'm failing or I don't love you or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Colossians 3:19, it says, husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. And so as you read that verse, most of us, we kind of skim over, we typically glance over the love your wives part because, oh, yeah, sure, I love my wife. I do sure. that. Done. Right. Because we think love is just a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I feel it. Yeah, I'm good. I love my wife. I don't, would you ever, I don't love my wife, right?
Dislove.
If you dislove your wife, if you don't love you, it's, that was on scouting. Boy Scouts. So, no, I'm just kidding. So, if you don't love your wife, you're not even going to worry about being harsh with them, right?
Right.
You don't care. But most of us glance over the love your wife part, but let's focus on that and not the be harsh in this, in this podcast. So, what does it mean to love your wife? Well, love is intentional. It's not passive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Love isn't just a feeling or a state of being. It's active. It's an action word.
Mm-hmm.
It involves connection, friendship, and intimacy. Mm-hmm. So if you were to come to me and say, hey, which you did one time, I think we used this on the podcast a couple episodes ago, you said, I feel like you're cheating on me with your job because it was a really busy season at work. Then how, if I'm going to love you, as this passage says, husband, love your wives, then I've got to take notice of that, right? If there's something lacking, if you're not feeling connected to me, then I've got a choice to make.
Yeah.
And I can either take offense to that and be upset and mad at you. Well, that really doesn't make sense because you're not blaming me for something if you come to me in love and kindness.
Yeah.
You know, now if you do come to me harsh and you come, you always blah, 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 blah. Okay. Then that's a different conversation. But if you come to me in love and say, hey, I know you're busy at work. I know this is a busy season, but I miss us and I feel like we're not connecting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to talk about if this season has an end date or how we can connect amidst this busy season.
Yeah. Right? And we've had those conversations
we
as well.
We have those. And you've done it just like that many times. But
good.
I'm glad
it wasn't me.
I just didn't use it as an illustration of the podcast. How can I not look at that and be like, okay, I need to figure something out, right? But if you come to me with a desire to partner with me and not just blaming me, okay, well now, if I love you, I've got to look at that. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think the way you approach the other spouse and how and when is everything.
Yeah. And if you're on the other side of it and your spouse approaches you, you also have to recognize that as a bid for connection of saying, okay, they want more of me. They're not, it's not something that they're just, you know, and even if they present it wrong, you need to try to look through that and see what are they saying here. They're saying they miss me.
Mm-hmm.
They want more of me
and
be able to turn towards that, your spouse, and think, okay, this is something I need to turn toward and not get, I need to humble myself. And even if you're like, I don't know what your problem is, we're fine or whatever, a person's perception is their reality. So even if you don't feel the disconnection, if they're feeling it somewhere, there's disconnection.
Mm-hmm. And maybe it's not a serious, you know, your spouse, maybe it's not a serious conversation you had it off with. Maybe you sit down with them and say, okay, I know life at work is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our calendar. Let's find a weekend in the next 3 months that we can put a weekend on the calendar for us. And I'm going to surprise you with a weekend away.
That's a great approach.
And you know what? And buy tickets to something they'd love to do that would breathe life into them because they're obviously stressed at work. And then when you're away, you can say, you know, I've missed this. I've enjoyed it. Create an environment to where they connect and they feel, oh, this has been missing. Why haven't we done this a long time? And you say, let's make opportunities for this more.
Yeah.
You know, I know life's busy. I thank you for carrying the weight of the world. So instead of it being a blame or just pointing out the problem, point out the solution first.
Mm-hmm.
Present the solution. Let them feel the solution emotionally and experientially, and then they'll they'll see the problem. They'll see like, God, I've been so stressed. Why have we not been doing this more? And then you can say, I know I've missed this.
Yep.
And I think that's probably, now that we're talking, I think that's probably the better approach. So do that. Forget what I said earlier.
Well, and the thing to think, to keep in mind, the encouraging part is that likely that spark's not completely gone. I think it's just maybe buried under under responsibilities and routine and maybe just disconnection. Or sometimes it could be laziness. I mean, we all get in ruts where we just get tired. But you can start the fire again. You can get it going again. And through the course of a long marriage, it is going to dwindle and it's going to rekindle and dwindle. It's going to be a process throughout a long marriage. You can't expect the fire to burn hot continually, and but you shouldn't allow it to completely burn out either.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like losing weight, right? I've just kind of resigned at this point in my life. There's always going to be 5 pounds to lose, maybe 10. I don't want it to get more than 10, right? So I'm always going to gain a little bit. I'm going to lose a little bit. I'm going to gain a little bit. It's always like until I die, until I get to heaven and there's no calories in ice cream, there's always just going to be attention need to be given there. And it's the same thing in your relationship, right? There's always going to need to be attention because the world's fighting. Mm-hmm. It's fighting for your attention and everything. And so so I hope it brings you hope and encouragement to know that it can be built back. And sometimes that spark comes back deeper than before because you realize, oh, look what happened. This is how we got it back. Well, let's just kind of keep embedding more of this in it. And so, man, if you're listening today and you've been wondering whether that spark in your marriage is gone, we just want you to hear this clearly. It probably has gone down, but it's not gone forever. It doesn't have to be.
It might just be buried. And that means there's hope. I mean, real hope, not just for things to get a little bit better, but for your marriage to actually feel connected again.
That's right. And listen, if you've heard this and you heard that ad earlier, you heard me talk about our marriage reset intensives. Man, I tell every couple, if you've been married over a year or two, you need a reset. And it's our marriage reset intensives are transformational investments that you'll make in your marriage. And I guarantee you, you'll walk away and be like, that was one of the greatest things we've done. So if you're interested in that, go to themarriageadventure.com/intensives. There's all kind of information there, videos you can watch, and you can schedule an appointment with me to see if that's something that you need or you'll be interested in. So that's all we have for today's episode. So if you want more of it, join us next time on the Marriage Adventure podcast. We are all alone.